with a mobile bicycle dance party. We'll be rocking Pedalpalooza and dropping the Prince jams all night long with frequent dance stops. Once again, that's Prince's birthday bike ride celebration, Thursday, June 7th at 8 p.m. More information on the KBOO website under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and it's right at 11 o'clock now. And coming at 11:30, Art Focus welcomes Augen Gallery's Bob Koch to discuss the detailed artwork of Indian painter A.J. Garg. But coming up right now is Stage and Studio, which will feature the New Portland Chinatown Museum. Stage and Studio has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from PD Expendables, Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater productions, from gel and globes to paint and lights. They can be reached at 503-887-5880 or their online store at pdexpendables.com.
Hi, I'm Dime Roberts, Stage and Studio. It's been a while. We're listening to music by the Orchid Ensemble from their CD, Life, Death, Tears, Dream. You can find out more about the Orchid Ensemble at orchidensemble.com. Today we're looking at the history of Portland's Chinatown. The New Portland Chinatown Museum has a soft opening this Thursday, for first Thursday, June 7th, 4 to 8 p.m. The museum's inaugural exhibit is called Made in Chinatown, USA, Portland, featuring photographer Dean Wong's Chinatown photographs. We'll talk with Dean Wong and hear from executive director Jackie Peterson Loomis and artist Roberta Wong. So we're going to hear about the museum as well as the history of gentrification and displacement that has been going on in Portland's Chinatown and the efforts of remaining residents to create the very first Chinese American museum in Portland. This is going to be quite the talk, so I'm looking forward to it. Stay with us. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dime Roberts. With me, live in the KBOO studio, our Executive Director, Jackie Peterson Loomis of the Portland Chinatown Museum. Hello, Jackie.
Hello,
and welcome.
Dime. Thank you for inviting us.
It's great to have you here. And veteran artist Roberta Wong, welcome.
Good morning.
I don't think, Roberta, I've ever had you on, have I?
No.
Was it years ago?
I've been with the, done programming with the KBOO, the art.
The Art Focus program. But yeah, so it's great to have you. I've known you for years. So both welcome to Stage and Studio. Jackie, I first met you when you were involved in bringing the Chinese American Exclusion Inclusion National Exhibit to the Oregon Historical Society. And you also curated a companion exhibit called Beyond the Gate, which highlighted the Portland's Chinatown history, and
right.
Actually its history of moving from like two Chinatowns, right? From the turn of a century one to the one that we know now here in downtown Old Town. But you have been a tireless advocate for the area for the last 18 years, and you've been collaborating with elders in Chinatown. What has made you so passionate about Portland's Chinese American history?
Well, you're right. I have been working in Old Town with a variety of ethnic groups since before 2000. I was the co-founder with Prudence Roberts of the Old Town History Project, which basically was interested in trying to preserve and capture that fascinating multi-ethnic history that is part of that neighborhood, in which the Chinese were perhaps the largest, and at least in my view, the most least understood of the groups that were had been living there, and so for many years, I mean, I worked directly with all of these groups. But finally, in about 2013, and I mean, before that, we had done a lot of oral history installations. Those bronze plaques that are in the pavement, if you know about them, there are 20, and they give little histories of the buildings.
No, I don't know about that.
It's so a self-guided walking tour.
Where is this at?
From Burnside to Gleason,
really?
Up 3rd and 4th. And
I don't know why
streets.
I didn't know this.
Well, I know, and the trouble is they're not kept very clean, but they're bronze, and actually they were meant to be an extension of the garden. Swen Ho, who was...
The classical Chinese garden,
yes,
Lan
the classical
Su,
garden. Yeah. Swen Ho, who was the landscape architect, had basically worked with a wonderful head of a foundry in China to produce these bronze plaques, and they were to have flowers from the garden to be extending the reach into the neighborhood. And the Department of Transportation, of course, was involved in putting this into the pavement, and they decided that they would love to have stories. And so we talked about including some of the oral histories that the Old Town History Project had been doing with African Americans and Asian Americans, Jewish and Greek merchants. And so it is. It's a multi-ethnic walk through the neighborhood. But the Chinatown part is pretty significant. I mean, starting on Cooch and going up to Flanders on both 3rd and 4th, and the same with Japantown. So, but it was the Chinese who, in the end, in 2012, you know, came to me and said, you know, we're the only ones now.
The Chinese residents there.
Yeah, these are people who grew up, yeah, or had businesses there. Many, mm-hmm, of them are 4th and 5th generation, yeah, Portland Chinese, and still avidly involved in the neighborhood, even though they don't live there. They all went to the CCBA Chinese Language School.
Which is
at
the Chinese
Consolidated Benevolent Association, yeah. Which is the venerable first building in New Chinatown, which was built in 1911. It is the first building in New Chinatown to be built by a Chinese organization. Actually, Roberta's family, the Tuck Lung, was the second Chinese-owned and built building
in
the
neighborhood. I didn't know your family. Is that Roberta, your family ran the Tuck Lung restaurant,
yes,
and grocery store?
My grandfather immigrated in 1926. And
I did not know this.
He started in 1930, and it's been passed through various generations until the mid-2000s.
And it's no longer around.
No, no longer in operation.
But so you're third generation then, or fourth?
I'm actually first generation.
Oh, you are?
So
okay.
My father and parents were both immigrants as well.
Well, so much history. I mean, you know, Tuck Lung, I remember when I was growing up actually in Junction City, Oregon, and, you know, we would go up to get all of our groceries, you know, because my mom, you know, it was Chinese, and so we needed to go up and like every 2 months or so and get the big bag of rice and all that, right. And then we would have dim sum there, and mm-hmm. It was just a wonderful place to go to.
There's been a lot of memories there for various families,
yeah,
over the years.
Yeah. So it's hard, you know, it's so great to have this history, though. And the Portland Chinatown Museum is going to be Oregon's first Chinese-American museum.
Yes, it is. And as I was saying, it became clear by 2012 that in contrast to the Nikkei and the Oregon Jewish Museum, and then even in the Greek community established a museum up at the church on Gleason, and the African American community has also been struggling to figure out how to establish a permanent presence. And so it became clear that the Chinese were the largest immigrant group of the various ethnic groups who had settled in that neighborhood, but their history is virtually unknown still in the state. I mean, it is the only minority group whose history is not part of the state educational,
exactly,
standards.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, and I didn't know this even at the time, that the Chinese were the very first arrivals who were non-European immigrants in Oregon and Portland. In fact, they were here in 1851 when the city was established. So these roots go all the way back to the beginning. They're part of the initial growth and prosperity of the city, and it's unwritten and unknown. And so that's part of our mission.
And to tell
and to
these
tell
stories.
Yes. And to preserve the oral history as well.
Well, Beyond the Gate has some of this history, and it's going to be a permanent
exhibit.
You just briefly tell us what that exhibit details?
Yes, this is called Beyond the Gate, A Tale of Portland's Historic Chinatowns. Most people don't even remember or know about Old Chinatown, which began in the 1850s and was fairly well destroyed by 1910 because of the World's Fair and because of the effects of permanent Chinese exclusion. But before that happened, by 1890 probably, Portland was the second largest Chinatown in the United States. I mean, this was a hugely important merchant community whose workers who were engaged in all kinds of occupations, far more than just railroad building, would come in back into town and be housed during the off seasons. But primarily, this stretched from Burnside to Mill along Second Avenue was the spine, with some of these businesses basically flanking the river as well as far west as 5th or 6th. It was really quite amazing, and you wouldn't call this a ghetto. I mean, this was a thriving commercial center, and many of its merchants became very wealthy, I mean, including a couple of real millionaires who had investments all over the Northwest. So this is a story that nobody even fathoms. And no. I mean, I personally believe that we haven't proven it yet, but I believe that it was Chinese craftsmen, bricklayers and others who were responsible for building many of the cast iron buildings for which we are still so proud.
Well, in part, besides the Beyond the Gate, you also have like a performance space, gallery space that you want to have more community involvement in.
Yes, we decided early on, partly, I mean, it was the inspiration of people like Horatio and Roberta, and my interest, too, in contemporary Asian American arts, which is flourishing. I mean, there's just an incredible talented people.
Yeah, Horatio
there.
Law is an artist that right. I featured a few weeks ago about his Tale of Two Ghettos.
That's right.
Yeah,
and so we decided that a nice mixture would be to not only showcase both this permanent exhibition, which is designed by Kerry Wong, who is a boy originally from Chinatown, but who became a world-renowned theater and opera set designer.
He's very well known.
He's
in
very well known,
circles.
And yes. So this is a show that is emotional, is theatrical, has heavy AV and vignettes. They're called. These are sort of recreations, and you walk through time. And
it was a wonderful exhibit.
Well,
when
so
I saw
we're gonna.
It.
It's yeah. gonna be even better the even second better. Time. Even better.
And it'll be quite the draw there. And Roberta Wong, you were the longtime, besides being a longtime Portland resident, you worked as a curator and director of the gallery at IFCC Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center for a couple decades, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. One of the few venues that focused on presenting artists of color.
I know. Mm-hmm. And it was quite the phenomenal thing to have in our, you know, positive aspect of the artistic community. Are you involved in, you know, some of the exhibits, and do you see a future kind of relationship where you're involving more in curating and perhaps showing your own work?
That's to be seen. At this point, I didn't want to create a conflict of interest. My ideal priority would be to exhibit as an artist, but I'm also sharing my experience as an administrator and helping the Zoom Museum at this time. And again, appreciate the opportunity to be involved.
Well, we're going to talk about the inaugural exhibit, which is Dean Wong's photography exhibit, pretty soon. But you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. My guests are Jackie Peterson Loomis, executive director of the Portland Chinatown Museum, and veteran artist Roberta Wong. And we're going to be talking with photographer Dean Wong via phone. In a minute, I just wanted to actually ask you both why you wanted to have Made in Chinatown USA Portland to be the inaugural exhibit, Jackie.
Well, two reasons. First of all, it was a gift, and what a wonderful gift it has been. Ron Chu, who's the founder and first executive and longtime executive director of the Wing Luke, who's been a mentor and
Seattle.
A friend
mm-hmm.
to us for many years as we've been sort of moving toward this goal, said to us when we first bought or sort of negotiating a lease-to-purchase agreement with the owner of the building where we're now housed. He wanted to send his dear friend Dean Wong down to us because he thought that he would do a wonderful job of photographing this community, and he's well-known as a photographer and writer. I mean, he was a longtime journalist, so his text is exquisite, and it's just as important as the photographs. The two really are closely wedded. But so he came down, and he's been coming down, I suppose, I mean, more than a half a dozen times in the last 2 years, interviewing restaurant owners, shop owners, people who, the few remaining people who live, still live in the neighborhood. He's had an opportunity to photograph in the tongs and the CCBA. So this, to me, you know, as somebody who, we're still, part of our mission is to try to, not only to preserve, but to try to rebuild what we can of this very, very important and fragile historic neighborhood, which is under siege. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in a second.
That's right. And so he's been, his show is in a part, I mean, it's kind of a love song.
All right. Well, let's hear from Dean Wong about his experiences documenting Chinatown. Dean Wong, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, thank you for joining us. You're a second-generation Chinese-American born and raised in Seattle's Chinatown, and you've photographed your community for over 40 years. And I'm just interested in what it's been like for you to document Portland's Chinatown.
The way I came about the Portland project is my best friend lost his life to gun violence 2.5 years ago, and then my wife died from cancer about a month after that. So in response, you know, I started going to San Francisco, Vancouver, Oakland, Chinatowns, and my own Seattle Chinatown every weekend and photographing, and it was like therapy to me. So I came down to see the Beyond the Gate exhibit, and I met Jackie, and I offered to spend a year and a half photographing what's left of Chinatown. So this is the result.
Well, I'm sorry about all the tragedy that has befell you. This must have been a very emotional experience for you then to do this project.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was all therapy. It just got my mind off everything.
Well, so are there a couple of stories that you might want to share about some of the Chinatown residents that you documented and photographed?
Well, one thing I noticed when I look at my photographs is the business owners that I photographed.
Mm-hmm.
They're all very proud to own businesses in Chinatown. They're all very proud of being what's left, and they're very proud that Portland Chinatown is the original Chinatown. It is the Chinatown. It's not over at Southeast 82nd.
Well, who are some of the business owners that you got to know?
Sophie at Golden Horse, Good Taste Restaurant, Ken, the convenience store, the tea shop, people like that.
Well, and I'm just wondering, what are some of your, one of the photos that that you've done is on the Portland Chinatown Museum website, and it's who is that standing in front of the Republic Cafe? Is Jackie?
That's
Ivan.
Ivan Mui. And he is the son of the owner.
Ah, okay. So there's another generation there.
He represents the next generation.
Yeah.
If you choose to continue the restaurant, if the restaurant continues to be there. And that all depends on property owners, not selling their properties.
Right. Yeah, there's so much going on there. Gentrification and displacement certainly has been an issue in Seattle. Are there parallels to Seattle and Portland's Chinatown histories that you could tell us about?
Well, Seattle Chinatown has always been more organized. We have nonprofits that develop housing, that develop properties, you know, for housing. And I'm not sure that Portland had that. We have a review district board that sort of watches over the historical aspect of the community, too. So, I would say Seattle was a little bit more active, you know, community-wise, organizational-wise.
Well, certainly having the Portland Chinatown Museum is helping with that, to have some of that organization and maybe some community involvement. No, go ahead.
The Portland Chinatown Museum is a really important project. It shows how much love there is for Chinatown and its history. And it's a very committed core group that you'll see if you come on Wednesday. during the first community opening.
The first Thursday opening?
Yeah. And the Wednesday opening.
No, Thursday.
But you can come Wednesday, though. How much does your exhibit made in Chinatown, USA, Portland, document some of this gentrification taking place in Chinatown? Do you have any specific examples of some of the photographs that you've taken?
I haven't really photographed gentrification. If what you mean by that is new buildings.
No, I just mean like maybe the loss of the old buildings, you know, and that kind of thing.
For instance, I have a photograph of the Great Era Gift Shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all boarded up. And there's a family.
Is it gone now?
Oh no!
I did not know it was gone. Oh my gosh!
But the picture has a family walking across the street. They must have come from like some kind of cancer survivor fundraiser.
Yeah.
Who's all wearing pink shirts. And
yeah.
I thought that I waited for something to enter that picture, and that's what I wanted with that empty building.
Wow.
Some life.
That's a strong statement in of itself. Wow. So Dean Wong's exhibit, Made in Chinatown, USA, Portland, opens this first Thursday, Dean, on June 7th, 4 to 8 p.m., and runs through September 2nd at the New Portland Chinatown Museum. And you will be there, right?
Yes.
What's it like for you to have people take a look at all your photographs, you know, for the first time?
Rewarding, I guess.
Yeah.
When I committed to doing this project and I came back to Portland Chinatown ready to photograph, I said, what am I going to photograph? Because the streets are empty. Because what I do really right now is street photography in Chinatowns in the U.S. So I had a lot of patience, and I finally found some moments. The exhibit is made up in three parts. Profiling the remaining business owners, by street photography, and also photographing some of the activities around the New Year's, because this is the second year that the Portland Chinese community has done a Chinese New Year's parade, so I photograph activities around that too.
Wow. Well, it's very exciting.
The other interesting thing I realized when I was looking at my photographs is that if you include the South portrait that they're going to use in the introduction, there are three photographs with my reflection in it.
Oh, really?
And I was trying to, you know, think about that, and I think it's unintentional. You know, I see it and I shoot it, but if I really want to get analytical about it, it's a way of putting myself into my work after 40 years of doing this. So
we can all like go to the exhibit and try to find you in some of the reflections.
Yeah.
Well, Dean Wong, thank you for joining us today, and congrats on your exhibit that's opening June 7th at the Portland Chinatown Museum. And I think Jackie wanted to say one thing.
I wanted to say that the show will be up until September 2nd, and I really encourage people to come. Our hours will be Thursday through Sunday.
I'll say all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Dean, thank you for joining us today via phone, and I look forward to meeting you on Thursday.
I think he left.
So I'm DB Roberts, Stage and Studio, and I'm talking with Jackie Peterson Loomis, Executive Director of Portland's Chinatown Museum, and veteran artist Roberta Wong. And I'm just wondering, Jackie, you know, I know that was such a struggle in getting this built. I mean, you basically, you secured a building, and how hard was that to do that?
Well, it was like a tremendous leap of faith, I would say.
Yeah, and then you built a completely new space.
And I have to say, too, that it depended on really two things. One was the willingness of a Chinese business owner. He was, in fact, I think, the only Chinese immigrant who's come to Chinatown in the last 25 years who was willing to buy something and start a new business. And this is Louis Lee. We owe a tremendous amount to him. He actually let this same space be used as the first offices for the Classical Chinese Garden and later the Northwest China Council. He's really wanted something like this. So here he took, you know, this group of 10 people, elders mainly, you know, over 75 or 80, who said, we have a dream, we want to do this, and can we buy this building? And he said, well, not yet. But he said, I'm willing to lease it to you and to give you an option to buy. And so literally overnight, this group of elders raised $100,000 for a down payment, and we were off to the races. And so it's taken us a year and a half, almost 2 years, to secure an architect, the contractor, to build this museum. But I have to tell you, people are going to be stunned when they see it. I can't tell you how gratified I was this morning. We have our volunteer training, the first one this morning, that someone said, you know, I visited that Wing Luke Museum in Seattle, and I never thought we'd have something like that here.
Wow, that's a high praise.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know. We're quite excited about it. So,
well, in the remaining time, we don't have a lot, but, you know, there has been a history of displacement and gentrification. We heard some so far, and Dean Wong kind of reiterated that. Would you give us some updates on what's happening in Chinatown regarding development, or is there time to talk about, you know, and maybe one pressing issue right now?
Okay, I'm not quite sure what the future holds now, because we've fought so hard for the last 10 years to gain some security for the National Historic District, which is called New Chinatown Japantown. And finally, last year, a year and a half ago, the city started a project, and I sat on the committee, as did a number of other members from the Nikkei and Chinese community, to create design guidelines for the buildings in the neighborhood that was to help guide new construction and infill construction to maintain that sense of place. And unfortunately, just 2 weeks ago, on a vote that didn't even require public testimony, the City Council voted to insert an amendment into the 2035 plan, which was basically a public process for 2.5 years. And that amendment basically allows heights of 200 feet on the parking lot, which is a block from us, but also the four blocks, which is half of Chinatown's district, north of Everett, which includes the buildings across the street from the classical Lansu Garden.
So that's going to cast a shadow over the garden, over all the Chinese businesses that are remaining.
This is half the height of Big Pink. Can you imagine the dead zone that it's created at the base?
Is there anything that can be done about that?
I don't know, quite honestly. But anyone who's seriously concerned about it certainly should be contacting the city and the press.
I mean, high-rises in what's left of Old Town and Chinatown.
Now, the rationale, there's no question we all believe we need housing. And we do. We desperately need housing in that neighborhood. We need both workforce housing.
But do you
need
that much
height? We don't need that. No, the height. Yeah. They had approved 160 feet for one half of one block. Which, you know, when you think about this, the Goodman family, which has owned so much property, has done a magnificent job just recently designing a building within the Skidmore Historic District just south of Burnside at 75 feet. So to insist that you must have 200 feet.
And a lot of that isn't necessarily for Chinatown or Japantown residents. This is, or even for seniors and affordable housing.
Well, it may be affordable housing, and I do understand that the promise to include some affordable housing was enough to allow one additional person, the third vote, to say yes. However, we understand, too, people should understand that even the affordable housing compact between the developer and the city is that they really only have to offer the affordable housing for 10 years, and then it converts
to
market.
Good information, Jackie. And on a closing note, too, Roberta, as a longtime Portland Chinese-American resident, how does it feel to finally have a Chinese-American museum?
Excellent. And again, I have to commend the Portland Chinatown Historic Foundation that provided the energy and the vision to follow through and make this happen. And to find partners, and
it's the community that has built this.
And that energy I experienced when they did the Chinatown Gate, and it's been a long while since we've had such a similar
So this
project.
Is very momentous. The Portland Chinatown Museum is located at 127 Northwest 3rd Avenue in Portland, and it's open Thursdays from 3 to 8 p.m., Fridays at 1 to 6 p.m., Saturdays and Sundays at 12 to 5 p.m. For more info, visit portlandchinatown.org, and I have that link at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. The inaugural exhibition of new photographs by visiting artist-in-residence Dean Wong is entitled Made Lead in Chinatown, USA, Portland opens June 7th, this Thursday, and runs through September 2nd. And we have about 1 minute. Any final thoughts, mentions?
Thank you.
I just want to say, because I didn't finish my sentence about thanking Lewis Lee.
Okay.
I need to thank, I mean, this would be, we would not be doing this were it not for the vision of people like Bruce and Gloria Wong and Bertha Seigert, the late Harlan Luck, Bob Luck. These are people that, you know, cared so much about this neighborhood that they've been willing to put in not only their own resources, but their own personal time for the last 3 to 4 years to make this happen. And they're still just working like crazy people. And younger people like Terry and Sarah Chung, who came forward. Terry was our first president. Sarah's our secretary now. I mean, these are tireless advocates.
And you too, Jackie. So Jackie Peterson Loomis and Roberta Wong, thank you so much for joining me today. And I guess, I don't know what you say for museums, but, you know, break legs.
Yes, yeah, so we'll break a leg. We hope.
Break a leg for the museum opening. That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Judy Feistel. And I'll have the show online later today at stageandstudio.org, as well as iTunes. And like us on facebook.com/stage-the-letter-in-studio or tweet me at stage-the-letter-in-studio. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts. We're going to go out with more music from the Orchid Ensemble CD, Life, Death, Tears, Dream. More at orchidensemble.com. Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Village Building Convergence, taking place June 1st through 10th at locations all over Portland. The Village Building Convergence features over 30 community-built projects happening all over Portland, including the Mudbone Community Farm, Sherritt Square, and Portland University. Additionally, there are also ticketed evening events featuring speakers and local musicians. Again, that's the Village Building Convergence, taking place June 1st through 10th at locations all over Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Bob Cox. He's the director and owner of Augen Gallery, and he's here to talk about A.J. Garg Paintings, a show of paintings which is on now at Augen Gallery from June 6th to the 30th. Thanks for coming into KBOO, Bob.
Thanks for having me.
So A.J. Garg, he's an Indian painter, and he's 51.